All right, we are in our chapter 6. Thank you for being here. I know it's an off night, and thank you for being here. We're looking forward to our singles retreat. So we have 59 singles. We need one more, okay? Can one of you pretend to be single? I see you over there. Good. I'd do anything to get away from them, too. Okay, so we're looking at chapter number 6. We're looking at our adversary. We've already looked at the armor we're supposed to wear, but there's a reason we're supposed to wear it, because we have an enemy. Of course, we're talking about our main enemy, which is Satan. And the Bible tells us much about him so that we can know what he's trying to accomplish and what he's trying to do. And I hope you're catching it and understanding. You know, we think about Satan. We think about he's coming at us, you know, demons and screaming and all that stuff, exorcists, whatever. That's not his thing. He comes at us in a way that we wouldn't recognize as being Satan, but it's deceptive and it trips us up nonetheless. We were looking at the devil's description. I think this is where we are still at. We said that his main doctrine has always been the same, which is basically the fact that you need to be the God of your life, which basically means that you decide what's right and wrong. And then we looked at last week, in the short time we had after the Lord's Supper, that he was ruined by his pride, and so will we be as well. Okay, let's move on to the next one. He is characterized as a liar or by lying. Satan is just an absolute, I was going to say good for nothing, but he is, liar, just a liar. There's no truth in him at all. Christians, on the other hand, are to commit our lives and live our lives based on truth. And we're speaking about God's truth. And so it's there to direct us. And by the way, God is truthful in every area of life. Everything God says, whether we understand it or not, it's true. And therefore, because it is true, it is best for us. And it is only as we get tripped up on the truth that we get in trouble. The one place I like to read, and you can read different books, this, that, or the other, and they contain some truth. But there's only one book that is completely true in every single aspect, and you can stake your life on it, and it's the Word of God. But that's not how Satan works. Satan works through deceit and dishonesty, which is the opposite of truth. To state it bluntly, he's a liar and always has been. Yep. He is. We'll look at the verse in a minute. But what is the purpose of a lie? The purpose of a lie and his motivation, it's for the purpose of changing, misrepresenting, perverting, twisting, or hiding the truth. That's a lie. A lie is about making the truth, in essence, go away. Making the truth not known. Covering it up. That's what a lie is. And so if the truth and the Word of God is what we're to direct our lives by, Satan's going to lie to us to get us to not do that, to get us to misunderstand it. That's his goal, is to hide the complete truth. Why? Well, first of all, he understands that truth leads to our salvation. The verse is not in your book, but it's John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if Satan can blind us to that truth by lying, then whoever buys into it, they're destined to an eternal destiny of hell. By the way, you can look all around the world, the different religious and belief systems, and how some of them just don't seem to make sense. Satan has so blinded certain parts of this world to the fact that to the truth of Jesus Christ. And so if he can lie and get us to believe a lie, he can keep us from salvation. And then in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For those of us that are saved, he's trying to blind us to the truth, which would sanctify us or lead to a change of life. Do you know he doesn't need to completely deny the truth to lessen its effectiveness? You can misrepresent it, right? Make it look like it says something that it doesn't say. What do the cults do? The cults will come by and tell you that, you know, they believe the Bible, and they'll pull a little thought here or there, and it's out of context, and they're misrepresenting what it says. They don't really believe it. When you misrepresent it, you're messing it up. They're trying to pervert it. That's altering it. This happens when it's changed to any degree. You know, you wouldn't drink water, I hope you wouldn't, if it was 96% pure, but the water's been perverted by 4% poison. Okay? Well, it's 96%. No, and you wouldn't drink that at all. The 4% is going to mess you up. He tries to pervert, he tries to twist it, make it change its teaching. You ever see these guys, and I hope you haven't, but I've studied a little bit, these prosperity preachers. They'll take some verse out of the Bible, and they'll rip it out of its context and make you think that you're supposed to be filthy rich, and you should never be sick. There's a church up in Reading, not Mike Johnson's church, there's a big church up in Reading, and they're all about healing, and if you name it, you claim it. They actually have a school of miracles teaching healing. But it was very interesting that during COVID, they shut down. And sadly, this man and his wife, the co-pastor, who believed in divine healing and all you had to do was claim it and you should be, God has to make you healthy, his wife just recently died of cancer. It seems to me that he misunderstood what the Bible said. It's just all about twisting it. And so we have to be very, very careful. Now here's who Satan is. Look at the verse if you have your book or whatever. John chapter 8, verse 44. By the way, say, oh, you know, Jesus was so meek and mild. Yeah, he told the truth, okay? This is Jesus. Ye are of your father, the devil. I've never said that about people in church, right? Say, sometimes you say things and you're just a little bit rough. I've never said you're of your father, the devil. Now I want to sometimes, okay? Just kidding. But look what he told him the truth. And the lust or the desire of your father you will do. Then he's going to describe Satan here. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He didn't stay with the truth. Remember, Satan became Satan because of his pride and his sin. Yeah. Now, he couldn't abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what the Bible says. That's his main characteristic. He is a liar. He is never going to tell the truth. The good thing is that lies are easy to overcome. The one thing we need to do to ensure that we never buy into Satan lies is to have a thorough knowledge of the truth. That way, when we hear something or we're faced with something, we'll be able to tell right off the bat that, like, that just doesn't ring true. I know, because you know the truth. Yeah. Whether it's your other enemies will look at, throw things at you, say, no, that's just not true, because we know the truth. But if we don't know the truth, this is where we get mixed up. And by the way, whose responsibility is it to make sure that you know the truth of God's word? That's your responsibility. If you don't know the truth and you are susceptible to the lies of Satan, it's because you have not actively and diligently tried to learn the truth. Okay, the truth is Satan's enemy. And once you know the truth and it becomes a part of you, it makes it harder for him to get you. If you know the truth, then a lie is clearly recognizable. It is only as we know God's truth that we are equipped to detect Satan's lies. One of the ways that the devil lies that is most effective in dividing Christians is by really false accusation. Satan goes after us with those type of things. By the way, do you know what the word devil means? It means accusation. Okay? It's accuser. That's what Satan is. And it means slander. That's literally his name. His name is slander, accuser. And so he doesn't just try to trip us up by lying to us. He tries to divide us by slandering, accusing us to others. And I can say this. If we are doing the same thing, we're making accusations, and we are being slanderous one of another, who are we being like? Satan. That's what he does. Be very careful about being critical and saying things. Okay? You say, well, it's true. You know it's absolutely true. And by the way, if something is true, you don't go you go to the person and you get that thing fixed. But we just like to throw stuff out there to see where it sticks. That's the work of Satan. And people just like to throw things and say things without anything backed up. And our technology makes these lies a little more effective in defeating Christianity and defeating Christians. You know, everything you read on the internet is not true. You can study anything on the internet and you'll hear everything about it. Okay? And we get on, and social media, really, and I know I have it too, I don't have a lot of it, but it's really a cesspool. It just really is. People can just be cruel and mean. We have to run our mouths about everything. And we have to give our thought, and we say things, but you know, I've known people, we've dealt with it, it hasn't been in a long time, but we've dealt with people, they get upset about something, and they run to their social media and start throwing stuff out there. By the way, that's childish. You didn't ask, but I'll throw it out there. That's childish, immature, and devilish. That, by the way, if you can show me in the Bible where you disagree with something or you're upset about something, you go to the social media and tell everybody, come show me. That's not Christian. That's about as Christian as my white dog. Okay? That's not Christian at all. If I think somebody's doing something wrong, I go and talk to them brother to brother. See, what is the goal of a misunderstanding? What is a goal? Right, fix it. Right? You know, if I have an issue with my wife, and I've never had one issue with her. Oh, you got the key word there, one. I don't go to social media. You leave, my wife burnt the toast today. Of course, we have Mexican toast, tortillas. You know, and she was mean to me this morning. And blah, 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 blah. Well, you don't go, you talk to each other. But it's just funny how our society now, everything has to go to social media. And we slander and we say things. Be careful about these idiotic, you know, let's discuss this stuff over the internet. Then the most critical person gets the biggest platform. And we think just because this person says this, that it's true. This isn't going over very well, but it's okay. Yeah, it was like, well, that person just said this, and no one's checking it out. Let's get the truth down here. Now, I'm not saying you hide things. I'm not saying you hide, but you know what I'm saying. Somebody has a bad day and they just throw something out and no one's checking it out. And we just, I don't believe it. You know, they do this here. They're being this, they're being that. Have you went and talked to the people about it? I feel a little unction here. Because we're in a social media society. And I have Instagram. I don't look at it. I don't even know why I have it. I guess I just want to have an extra app on my phone. I like Twitter. But you know what? You can't read the comments. Right? Somebody says, man, 12 people got saved today. And then everybody and their brother is going to come, and it's like that's a bad thing. It's like people can find the worst in anything. It's like, look, and I like to hear what other churches are doing. I like to hear what other people are doing. I like to hear good reports, but I'm not reading what they're saying underneath it because it's just a bunch of junk. But we run to social media about every small little thing. That's not Christian, by the way. Let me just say, that's not Christian. You are not supposed to take disagreements and blast it out publicly. That is so beyond childish. And it is so hurtful. There's nothing of God in that. Okay? And what God wants is people to dwell together in unity. You might want to just read that verse a little bit there. Behold how sweet and how lovely it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What do you got, a New International Version or something? Okay. And so none of us are perfect. And there's always little things, right? You work it out. Not on social media. Well, I'll DM them. Don't DM them. Call them. Talk to them. Get together. Yeah. Buy them coffee, okay? But that's the point. I don't know how I got. But that's how lies are. And it's divisional. And if Satan can't get to a Christian individually, he'll divide them, right? Look at the book of Nehemiah. You see that as they were building the wall, how Sanballat and all those other dudes, and they were trying to stop them physically, and that really didn't work. That unified them. What caused the problem? When they started having interrelational situations amongst themselves, they just weren't treating each other right, because it's opposition from within spiritually that hurts Christianity, not from the outside. When outside problems come, everybody unifies together and say, let's go. But when there's stuff, there's strife. So again, I'm just saying, and I just threw that in there because that's who Satan is. Let's be very, very careful that that we do things the right way. And we don't want to be like Satan. He is an absolute liar. An absolute liar. Amen. And if he can trick you up, and we're going to see how he does that in a second, he'll do it every single time. And so let's do things the Bible way, and let's make sure that we're trying to be right in our own spirit. And we'll move on. Look at the devil's tactics now. The devil's tactics. The things he is trying to do, a lot of it's tied into who he is. So the things he's going to try to accomplish, he's going to use who he is to try to accomplish these things. That's how he is. He has time-tested tactics that he employs. What are they? Here's the first one, and it just makes sense if he's a liar and he wants you to be your own God and he's proud. That all attacks one thing, the scriptures. He seeks to undermine our trust in the Bible. Because if you don't trust the Bible, you're not going to follow it. If you don't have a rock solid foundation of saying, my life is going to be built on that book, then you're not going to go forward. How does he do that? He's a liar. It just stands to reason he would attack the one thing that it can expose as lies, the Bible. By the way, the Bible has always been his target. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read any of Tyndale, any of these other guys that lived in the Dark Ages that were trying to get the scriptures out, they were put to death for just owning a copy of the scriptures. You can be put to death for that. By the way, he was using the Catholic Church to do that. We don't like to hear that, but that's okay. That's what it was. They would put a person to death for owning a copy of the scriptures. Many of the reformers, they were put to death for their belief in salvation by grace and their belief in the scriptures. They didn't want to. You know why? Because there's a reason it was called the Dark Ages. And really, it was the invention of the printing press that started changing things and getting the scriptures, a lot of it was illegally, into the hands of the common man. The Bible has always been attacked. You say, when did the attack on the Bible begin? This verse is in the book, but let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Sounds to me like the Bible was being corrupted as in the time period in which it was being written. And that's Gnosticism. That's the origins of the different corrupt text of the Bible by which our new Bible versions, have been translated by or changed by. It was being corrupted back then. Satan went after it right away. And it's very important. Cults do that, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses have their New World Translation of the Scriptures. And all these different things. Joseph dealt with it, and I encourage you to get his book. His little booklet is very simplistic. And his goal is to attack the Scriptures so that... Where did that start? It started in the Garden of Eden. The first time Satan is on the scene. He is trying to get Eve to sin, to bring sin into this world. So what did he have to do to get that to happen? He had to attack what God said. If he could if he could erode her trust in the Bible, her belief in what God had directly told them, then he could get her to do her own thing. So look at the verses there. It's in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So here he comes. He's on the scene for the first time. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die, right? So we know the story. All the fruit trees, God said, have at it. Eat all of it, any of it. Just that one right there. Could you imagine if we only had one law we had to keep? I guarantee you we'd break it. That's just how we are, right? It's like just one. Here it is, ready? The speed limit. We'd be all guilty right away, right? It's just one law, just keep the speed limit. I keep it all the time. I just have my own. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We recorded that verse. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you understand the progression here, right? Satan didn't just come out and say, hey, God said you shouldn't eat that. That's a lie. Eat it. Right? He takes steps. He got her confused, and he did some things to get her messed up so that she would eat it. It had to be slow. By the way, that's happening today. Do you know the average college that claims to be a Bible college, they undermine the trust of the Bible? But it's tied to all these new translations, but I had a friend, Eddie Torres. My wife knew him, his wife. He came to Bible college when I was there. And he came, and I met him. He was working on my bus route. He said, I used to go to Biola. How many of you have heard of Biola? Yeah. Biola means, thank you, Bible Institute LA. Who founded it? R.A. Torrey. Bible Institute of Los Angeles. I'm like, how in the world did you end up from Biola to Hiles Anderson? And he said, well, I was at the college and I noticed some things that were wrong. He said, we were in an ethics, a Bible college. We were in an ethics class. And he said, the teacher said, we're going to discuss abortion now. And I want you to give me my thoughts and try to prove that it's wrong. He said, and he goes, and the teacher said this. Said, I don't want you to give me the Bible says nonsense. I don't want to hear any of that. My friend Eddie, teacher said, yes. He goes, I thought this was a Bible college. Do you know that the faculty came to him and said, you know, I don't think you'd be comfortable here. You might want to find somewhere else to go. That's what's corrupted. That's why Christians don't have confidence. We use all these goofy Bibles, and they're kind of true, but there's a little bit wrong there, and all this stuff, and all that. Look, if you don't have confidence in the Bible, if I didn't have confidence in the Bible, let's go do something else with our lives. I'm not going to anchor my life to something I'm not sure is true. I'm not. And I don't want something that's just mostly true. But the whole end game is that, because if our trust in the Bible is corrupted, our lifestyle is going to follow. That's just how it is. How did he do that? Well, first of all, Satan questioned God's word. You know, those four little words, right? Yea, hath God said? That seems harmless enough, but you know what it is? It's casting a little bit of doubt in her mind. Yeah. Did God really say that? I mean, is that really there? By the way, whenever you hear someone questioning the truth of the scripture, just listen for the hissing in the background. They may not look like Satan, and they may not, and I'm not saying they are Satan, but they're doing exactly what he does. Question his word. Did God really say that? By the way, Christians say that, and then they say it a lot of times because they've never read it. A teenage girl years ago come, you know, I know the church believes this, but that's just not my conviction or, you know, my interpretation of scriptures. I looked at her, I said, you ain't ever read the Bible. Stop. You ever read? I say exactly. You just want to live that way. We have to know it, or else we get confused. The criticism of the King James Bible, there's a reason behind it. And it's not just some, you get on social media, KJV only church, they're just weirdos and blah, blah, blah. No, is it weird just to believe that God could preserve his truth for us? Is that weird? I think it's weird for you to say you're a Christian and you love God and you love the Bible and say, but there's errors in it. I think that's weird. And then to give your life to it? Because if there's errors in it, which ones? Come on. It's kind of a big deal. Okay? You know, what's is it untrue when it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Don't give me that stuff. And they come over here, and you read it, and there's a verse in the Bible, and Joseph can pointed it out, and has a little, I remember the first time I saw that, Brother Pineda, I was reading it, and they had a little footnote there. And I went down there, and it said, this verse isn't in the originals. And I was like, wait a minute, I was confused. And then I got a book, a little book by David Otis Fuller called God Wrote Only One Bible. And he showed everywhere that verses were omitted, words were changed, and how the meanings of the text. And I'm like, I'm sticking with the King James Bible. No, I don't want anything that I'm like, you know, wow, who added that? You go to Acts and they took out the verse about, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And I think it's the next verse, right, Joseph? That's like, you know, if thou believest in the Lord Jesus, that's a big verse. That verse is a big deal. Yeah. And these foolish individuals, I didn't want to call them fools. These foolish individuals get up and say, no doctrines in the Bible are affected by the changes. Liars. Yeah. That's a big deal. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And they got out of the chariot and they were baptized. Where's the answer? If that verse is gone, it means that you can just get baptized. That's a big deal. I was you, John, that was the verse, right, John? John used to go to the Money Changers bookstore. It's closed now, praise God. And they were selling a bunch of Bibles. And if I'm close, just let me go. And somebody was there and asked you about what Bible would be a good Bible to buy, something like that, right? John said the King James. And I think one of the workers was there. It's like, well, no, there's other good versions. And I think John showed him the verse, like, well, let's look at it. And there's a verse missing in Acts. And I think the worker said, well, that doesn't make a big difference. And John showed it to him and said, let's look at it. And they read it and they saw the verse that was missing. And they said, yeah, that is kind of a big deal. Well, duh. 1 John 5:7, it's gone. The last part of Mark, it's gone. So, I don't know about you, I have an issue with that. I'm like, wait a minute, they're cutting the Bible up. I know, they're getting us to question its accuracy. So when we say King James, it's not because we want you to talk like, you know, Queen Elizabeth's relatives 400 years ago. That's not what it's about. It's about accuracy. It's about knowing that we hold in our hand the truth, the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth. Satan always tries to get that. I told you before, someone gave me a tape years ago. Read this about the Bible right in the middle. Like, oh, you know, it's 94% true. And I'm like, click, I'm not listening to that because it was a lie. Here's one people use. You know, the Bible is completely accurate and it's the scripture in its originals. Wasn't that cute? We don't have the originals. We have copies of copies that were accurately handed down to us. When Jesus got up and read the scroll in the temple, and I think it was Isaiah, and he read Isaiah, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He had a copy of a copy of a copy. He didn't have the original. He didn't have it. But he said, this is scripture. Okay? God's promise to preserve his word. So don't let the hiss of Satan get to you. Don't let people question it. I need this, and I need to know that I have God's word in my hand so that I can anchor my life to it. I hate to be lied to, and I don't want to anchor my life to a lie. I just don't. So he's over there and he's questioning God's word. Second, he got her confused about God's word. That's how questioning works. When you start to question God's word, now you're confused about it. You know, she said, God said that we can't eat the fruit of the tree. We can only eat the fruit of this tree, but we can't eat the fruit of this tree. We can't even touch it. Now, God never said you couldn't touch it. I'm not saying it's a good idea to touch something you shouldn't eat, okay? But God didn't say that. She's starting to get confused in her mind. And that's how it works. We get confused. Is the Bible really what it says it is? Can I really trust it with my life? That's where faith comes in, by the way. And now she's all confused. And once we're confused about God's word, it's easy to go to Satan's next tactic, right? What did he do? He denied it. You will not surely die. He didn't start with that because defenses go up. Someone comes up and says, that Bible you hold in your hand, that's not God's truth. We'd say, whoa, hold on here now. Yes, it is. And then we go to some liberal college that says, well, yes, it's true, but there's parts of it that aren't true. Yeah. It's what's happening in all the liberal Bible colleges. You know, it's mostly true. But, you know, we're textual critics. You're clueless. And then, okay, because we're not going to believe the lie. It's not true. We're going to like, oh, that's true, it's true. No, this is true. There's just some, you know, there was some translational errors, and there's some things throughout time that happened. I know. It's Satan. He's going to deny. Everything Satan was doing was leading up to that. He denies God's word because he doesn't want us to live it. Then once he gets to that, he gets to the last part. He challenged God's word. That's the kill shot, right? Once he saw that everything was going good, then he switched tactics. God's holding out on you. You don't need his truth. You ought to be able to decide your own life. You ought to be able to do your own thing. You know, the day, you just go do what you want. If you eat this fruit, you can decide what is right and wrong for yourself. Well, what does that mean? God's holding out on you. Doing what he says isn't best. Yeah. I mean, think of the stupidity of this, right? Yeah. There was probably like just all types of trees. I mean, and just one you can't have. It's like you can eat anywhere you want. You just can't have, you know, I'm not going to say it. You just can't have pizza with pineapple. You can't do that. You can eat anything. You just can't have this one item. And he got her so confused, you know what she wanted? She wanted the one item. Put the pineapple on the pizza. Let's go. That's how we get confused. She had everything she could ever want, and yet Satan got her so messed up, she decided she wanted the one thing she wasn't supposed to have. That's how Satan messes up. Why? God's holding out at me. I mean, I don't know how many trees there were. You know, the 1,000 other trees with all the good fruit, that's not the one. That's the one I got to have. She messed up. He's holding out. By the way, young people, that's how you feel. That's how Satan attacks us, attacks you. But look, if you serve God, you are missing out on life. You are missing out on all the good stuff. No, you're not. You're missing out on the bad stuff. And by the way, when she ate the fruit of the tree, and then she gave it to her husband, and he ate, not her fault, he willingly did it. No, I'm not going there. But it's like, once they ate it, guess what? It came with a curse, didn't it? Now the ground was harder to till. You say, oh, what happened to Eve? Have a baby, you'll figure that one out. Pain. They've been paying for it. And mankind became sinful, and now they needed a Savior in Jesus Christ. All because they fell for the lie. The fact of the matter, the opposite is true. It's better to follow God's plan and do his thing than to do your own thing, because God's not holding out on you. He's trying to hold you from that which is harmful. Not that which is fun. It all looks fun, I know. You young people, you look around at people that don't go to a church to ours, or go to a thing, and they have their, oh, I wish I could do that, and I wish I had that. No, that's not what's good for you. That's not biblical. It's not what's best for you. What's best for you is following God. Don't fall for that lie. Say, all of Satan's bait comes with a hook. You know, I like that phrase in James. talking about the perfect law of liberty. How many have heard that phrase, right? When we think of it, law and liberty don't go together. We think of law as being, you know, restrictive. And we think of liberty of being freeing. But when you follow the law of the Bible, it's not restricting you from life. It's giving you liberty in life. Because you have to believe, like the Bible teaches, it's sin which is binding, not following God. Well, there's things I can't do if I follow God. I know, and those are the things that aren't good for you. Those are the things that mess your life up. Those are the things that bring bondage, not freedom. Freedom comes from following God. I'm free to live my life apart from sin and apart from the consequences of sin. That's where freedom is. The law leads to liberty. I'll finish up here, I think. I think we're about good. Yeah. There's a statement. Satan understood the truth that our beliefs determine our behavior. So if we change our beliefs, we're going to change our behavior. So if that's true, what you really believe determines how you behave. The way you live your life is dictated by what you really believe. That's just how it is. Therefore, if that's true, then how you behave tells me what you really believe. I love Jesus. I know, but you live more like the other guy. I'm not saying you do. I'm just making a point. If my lifestyle is more in line with an unbeliever than it is a Christian, then I can say what I want about what I believe, but I really don't believe that, or else I would behave in that manner, right? Because if you believe something, you're going to follow that because that's your truth. That's your conviction. But if you really don't follow it, then in essence, do you really believe it? And that's what Satan's trying to do. We better stop there. All right, let's stand together. We'll finish this chapter eventually. Thank you for being here really on an off night, and I appreciate that. And I know it just seems like we had church the other day because we did. So if you want to be here for church on Thursday night, have a good time. No one will be here. The doors will be locked, okay? Singles, we're looking forward to the singles retreat. See you up there on Thursday night. Of course, regular schedule, Saturday, prayer meeting and soul winning and visitation, and then we'll have our Sunday services. We'll see you then. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of Scripture and how it is freeing. It's not restrictive. And I pray you'd help us, Lord. Our hearts are prone to wander and to go away from that which is right, Lord, because we're facing some enemies. But help us to be dedicated in attaching our lives as to the anchor of your truth. Bless us now as we go our way. Be with us at the singles retreat. Give safety as we go up there and as we are up there until we come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.